And that was two versions of Tessie, the original, back over 100 years ago, and also the Dropkick Murphys with their take on Tessie for the Boston Red Sox. And our guest this evening, who, as I mentioned earlier, appears briefly on the Dropkick Murphys song, is Dr. Charles Steinberg, president of the WooSox. Dr. Steinberg, you want Dr. Steinberg, Charles, what do you want?
Oh, I just go by Charles, and the nickname's Dr. Charles. But
Well, Dr. Charles, welcome to the Folk Revival.
Well, thank you. It's great to be here. I'm a fan of folk music and glad to talk music with you.
Well, we're going to be talking music in a minute, but first we're talking baseball.
Yes.
Tonight I'm doing nothing but baseball songs. You have been involved in baseball for well over 40 years.
Yes.
You started out, was it an intern with the Orioles?
Yes, a 1 month non-paid internship out of Gilman School in Baltimore. That was my high school. And the last month of senior year to combat senior slump, they helped us get volunteer jobs. It was before we even called them internships. But I was 17 years old and had the time of my life. And that 1 month has lasted 46 years.
Now that turned, you were 19 years with the Orioles. What were the different jobs you did with them?
At the Orioles, went from intern, did that for a long time while going to college, while going to dental school, while graduating and becoming the team dentist. Along the way, I was working on the scoreboard a lot. And so when we got a Diamond Vision board, I became game communications coordinator.
I love these names.
And then director of Orioles Productions, director of public affairs, director of public relations.
Were you still dentisting while you were doing
this? Oh, yes. Yes, sure. You got to have a hobby.
Dr. Charles Steinberg. Dr. Charles, so you went from the Orioles to
yes.
the Padres.
Right. By then, I followed Larry Lucchino, who had been president of the Orioles. By then, I was vice president of public affairs. That's a nebulous title, but it really
most
means...
Most titles are, actually.
Well, yeah, because they want to be umbrellas. But that was public relations, community relations, ballpark entertainment, customer service, outbound marketing, outreach. And so that was at the Padres, vice president, senior vice president, executive vice president of public affairs. And those were seven wonderful years in San Diego. And then it was time for Boston and Fenway Park.
Boston and Fenway Park, executive vice president of public affairs for the Red Sox, your first time around with them.
Yes.
A bunch of years with them, and then went to L.A.
Los Angeles Dodgers as chief marketing officer, head of public relations and marketing.
And then the one that interests me, you began working for the commissioner of baseball.
Yes, Commissioner Emeritus now, but Commissioner Bud Selig, a wonderful man. And I wish everybody got to work with him and know him to know what a kind man and funny man he is, because his public persona was a bit straightforward. But to work with him every day, he was hilarious.
So what did you do in his office? What did you do for
him? Called it senior advisor to the commissioner for public affairs. It was to try to help tell baseball's good stories. On the commissioner level, there was no difficulty in controversial stories.
Well, the
being
buck
out
always
there.
Stops there. I know that. That's a pretty
right.
normal.
But there
thing.
Were so many good stories,
yeah.
and so many things that Red Sox fans are eternally grateful to him for doing. You don't have the 2004 World Champions flying the flag in Boston if there is no wild card.
That's right.
And yet when he advocated for it and got it, he said, you would have thought I had defiled the country.
Baseball is one of those obsessions where people don't always like change.
Well, and he's a traditionalist, but an innovator.
Right.
And that resonated with me just as it resonates with Larry. We are innovative traditionalists, or
I like
traditionalists,
that.
But innovators.
Then you returned to the Red Sox for 4+ years. Then
yes.
you moved on to Pawtucket.
Well, Larry Lucchino bought the Paw Sox and
yep.
said we need a new ballpark. And we took 95 down to Pawtucket, but came up 146 to Worcester.
There you are. And now you are president of the Worcester Red Sox and president of the WooSox Foundation? Is that the
well, yes,
official
yeah.
title?
You have a philanthropic arm so that you can help make sure that you are doing outreach. That Worcester is wonderful. It is our centerpiece. It's our home. But there are so many towns around it, too. And with the WooSox Foundation, you can help the people of Worcester in myriad ways. But you can also go out and about to all of the towns. We want to start a WooSox Foundation roadshow. There'll be music involved.
Well, and we're gonna come to that. But I first want to say,
yes,
so many of us are thrilled that we have baseball in Worcester again. And at this level, baseball has such a rich history in Worcester. The first perfect game ever in the majors, thrown in Worcester. Some great major leaguers have come out of Worcester.
Yes.
And you know, it's we're just thrilled that you're here.
Well, thank you. The excitement that the city feels has been so palpable the entire time, ever since we announced we were coming, and we feed off it. You know, in the musical metaphor, one time, as many people know, James Taylor's performed a number of times at Fenway. We've gotten to know him, and you know, I said, "How do you do Fire and Rain every night?" He said, when you feel that crowd, when you feel that energy, it fuels you. And I understand better. I can't say I've ever stepped in his shoes. But I understand better that feeling when you're walking down the street and people just come up and say, thank you for choosing Worcester.
I think that's terrific.
And Larry Lucchino was the one who chose Worcester. He should be recorded in history as the man who chose Worcester. I was the caboose on the train. He was the locomotive.
Now you and James Taylor do have something in common. You're both songwriters.
Yes, however, that's a reminder that in our world of music and perhaps in folk music, perhaps anyone can be, because he's at the top of the spectrum.
I've written four songs and they still don't go anywhere, so that's fine.
You know, but I think it's the writing of the song that is the joy. You know, it's not whether it gets released, whether it goes to number one. Maybe that's joyful also. But the part of songwriting that I've loved is it converts the emotions that are inside of you into a form of physical energy output.
And it's an output you can share.
Yes, that's true.
That's the part that I love. You're when
right.
I play music.
You're it's right.
It's not just you doing it for yourself.
That's right.
Which is perfectly fine.
Yes.
But it's you sharing it with the... And sometimes, you know, you write a song, and it's a great song, and it's very popular, but you don't realize its impact on people until it takes off in a direction you didn't anticipate. The classic example of that is, of course, Sweet Caroline.
Absolutely. And our chats with Neil Diamond about that have been just, gosh, I mean, they're legendary. You know, you're standing there talking to Neil Diamond.
What is the most played Neil Diamond song ever? Well, it's got to be Sweet Caroline, because it's played every night at Fenway Park.
Isn't it amazing?
And
all over the world now.
All over the world. And nothing that he expected.
Right. Exactly.
And it was a hit song.
It
was a great song, but it's nothing that he expected. And I think that's... Now, you've written some songs for the WooSox as well.
Yes, a number of songs that you hear at Polar Park. The jingle, the theme song, and it's written with children in mind, WooSox 21. But also, there's a gentle ballad about Worcester called Seven Hills.
I gotta get copies of those, because I want to... Hopefully, when I get to the... I'm coming to the ballpark in August with a million members of my... Well, six or seven members of my family, and... I hope I'll hear some of them then when I get there.
I'd like you to hear those, as well as Home of the Game. And again, they all have stories.
Now, we're going to play you out, not yet,
with
a song you wrote that was recorded by Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr.
Yeah, that's When I Fell in Love.
That's When I Fell in Love with Baseball.
Yes.
And I love that song.
Thank you.
People who have listened to the songs I play on this show every year know that's the kind of song that we like to play. There's a beautiful song that a local singer-songwriter named Doug Kortler wrote, which I'm playing later tonight. He's from New York, although he now lives in Massachusetts, and it's Farewell to the Old Yankee Stadium when it was left. That kind of, it's both wistful and inspiring, and
right.
I love that song. Charles Steinberg wrote That's When I Fell in Love with Baseball. We'll hear it in a few minutes.
Thank you.
So music, baseball, dentistry is the hobby. Okay,
yes,
I get that. Music, baseball, Worcester. It all seems to come together. I don't know how familiar you are. Worcester has the most intense music scene.
Well, I'm learning about that. And not only is it hot today, which I'm glad it is, but there's a cool history to it. Just, you know, learned about Orpheus being from Worcester and Can't Find the Time. And we're going to work that song in.
Excellent.
Work that into Polar Park.
Yeah, I've had Eric Gullickson, who's part of Orpheus, has been a guest on the show.
He does I haven't met the band members.
He does a lot of solo acoustic work now in the Worcester area.
Well, you know, this is the clarion call, to invite him. I love Plain Folk. Charlie Ball's music. We play Union Station. We play Blackstone Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Goodwin, my goodness, what a career with Joe Cocker.
There's some amazing music in the Worcester area.
Yes.
Amazing music in Massachusetts. Several times, not tonight, but several times this is the 14th time I've done this show, and a gentleman named Howie Newman, I don't know if you know Howie, he's a wonderful singer, songwriter, writes baseball songs.
Good.
He has two or three baseball CDs, and we're playing some of his music tonight. He's been my guest co-host on the show here. The music, baseball inspires people, and sometimes it's the inspiration is unexpected.
Yeah.
It's easy to write a song about Carly Stremski or Joe DiMaggio or Willie Mays. Those are the easy ones. But if you write a song like That's When I Fell in Love with Baseball, you write a song like A Dying Cub Fan's Last Request, which still makes me cry, even though it's hilarious. When you write songs like that, you're really sharing something of yourself. You're not just writing about something. You're sharing something emotional. And I think that's the music is so important. I think baseball is the one sport, I think, that is more connected with music than more than any other.
I believe that, yeah. And I believe that baseball's rhythms, a word that I'm advocating be included in our vocabulary, is relaxitement. You go to the ballgame to relax with periods of intermittent excitement.
It's a pastime.
Well, it is. It is how you pass the time. But the sine wave that is like breathing is like this moment and then this moment. Well, music is that. It's tension and repose, my eighth grade teacher, Merrill, taught.
There you go. It's exactly right. It's one of the reasons why. Yes, a lot of other sports use music, but they use music as background, and they use music as often can you hear We Are the Champions when someone runs out in the field? They don't use music as an integral part of the experience.
That's what we love. We love that.
And that's the I love that. It's one of the reasons why, much as personally I'm not a big fan of it, I understand why something like The Wave takes place more in baseball than any other sport,
mm-hmm.
because it represents that. You can't see I'm on the radio, but I'm doing the ebbing and flowing gesture with my hand.
It's very much part of nature, and that's how the ocean waves are, and that's how music is.
I think
and that's how baseball is.
You ought to release a special baseball album from Worcester. That's what you ought to do.
Well, we've been chatting about that. We've been thinking of the music of baseball, the music of Woo Sox baseball. When I was with the Dodgers, pardon me, we did Dodger baseball, music to your ears. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's Woo Sox baseball, music to your ears.
There's so many good local Worcester artists. You should get about 10 of these songs and ask them each one to cover one and do an album.
I think you're onto something.
Oh, I'm onto something. My wife, are you listening, honey? I'm onto something.
Yes, he is.
Dr. Charles Steinberg, thank you so much. President of the Worcester Red Sox. Again, we are so excited that baseball at this level is back in Worcester.
Well, I'll tell you, you have listeners who are very attentive to music.
Yes.
And attuned to music. Now, when fans come to Polar Park or Fenway Park, if they're not paying attention to the music, hopefully it does no harm. Hopefully it is a background. But for those who actually do pay attention, yes, there is a reason for so many of the songs that we play at Fenway, at Polar Park. We did adopt and ask the Dropkick Murphys to create Tessie. We did write the Wally song, which is a kid's song. But even the thrill of getting to tell Chuck Negron, a name you may not know, but if I go, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, to tell him that we're playing his song as the third wind song at Fenway Park and have been doing so for years, or to have the Standells, who love their dirty water, we were able to reunite them in 2004, and they were able to show me the zhup of how you play that on the guitar. The music is essential, and I realize I love music, but so do your listeners. So give us your thoughts. What is it? info@woosox.com. When you hear the music, see what songs you like. There's some gentle ballads, so they have to come before the game or after the game in the subside.
Right.
But the escalation of musical energy from the time the gates open till you're now in the game at the peak, and then after the game, it comes down. One of the last songs we play, because we're letting you exhale, is "That's When I Fell in Love."
And what a perfect segue.
How about that?
Dr. Charles, thank you so much for being part of tonight's Folk Revival, and really
my
glad
pleasure.
You came in. Oh, our pleasure as well. And here, written by Dr. Charles Steinberg, from the Fifth Dimension, Marilyn McCoo and Billy Davis Jr., here is "That's When I Fell in Love with Baseball."